I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. We know governments gather a lot of data on us, thanks to Edward Snowden, but don't think for a minute that the NSA is the only one monitoring you. Private companies do it too, and casinos hoard more data on their customers than you might expect. That's the crux of a new book called What Stays in Vegas. It's by Adam Tanner, and you could say he found out long ago what it's like to be followed.
So the year was 1988. It was 1 year before the fall of the Berlin Wall, which is we're marking the 25th anniversary of that just this fall right now. And in a single day in Dresden, the great art capital of East Germany, 10 Stasi agents followed me over the course of the day and logged everything I did in minute detail and put it into a 60-page log. And the log said things like, 10:02, he's looking at the Dresden Semper Opera. At 10:53, he leaves the building. 10:55, he's looking at a map. 10:57, he's still looking at a map. 10:59, he asks for directions. So it's very precise and detailed over the course of the day. What was I doing that would stir the interest of the Stasi? And also, by the way, a footnote to that is in 1988, the most famous KGB agent of all time was resident in Dresden, and that was Vladimir Putin.
Incredible coincidence.
As far as I know, he was not on my case. but I was, at that time, researching the Frommer's guidebook, Eastern Europe and Yugoslavia, on $25 a day. So that's what stirred up the interest of 10 secret police.
So later you get this data set of where you'd been that day in Dresden. How much did that whole experience push you to pursue this story about big data in places like Vegas?
Well, in retrospect, what interested me so much about that was even with 10 people on my case, they didn't ultimately know that much about me. They knew kind of chronologically over that day, but they didn't really understand the guidebook thing. They didn't know that much in totality. Today, what commercial data gatherers and companies know about almost all of us is much more extensive. And in fact, just carrying around a cell phone in your pocket does 70% or 80% of the job of logging where you're going over the course of the day that the Stasi did that day. So that whole experience helped stir my curiosity about who are the people that gather data about us, what do they do with it, and what impact does it have on us? And that led to this book, What Stays in Vegas.
Right. And what this book is about is casinos and how they use big data to track its customers. So take us to the casinos there, like Caesars. We know from TV shows that they're always watching everything on the floor through closed-circuit cameras. But when it comes to the data, what are they monitoring, and how quickly are they monitoring it when you get to Vegas?
So if you choose to join the loyalty program, and most people do, they will know pretty much everything that happens in the public spaces of a casino. That means how much you spend in electronic machines to the penny, and very closely how much you spend on the tables, what shows you like to go to in the evening, what kind of foods you like, what drinks you order, whether you go to the spa and have a manicure. All of these things are recorded over time, so they're going to know if you're a valuable customer or not. And they may see that you're having a terrible evening, that you're someone who typically gambles about $200 a day, and you're down $700. You should have lost $500 by the odds, but they may magically arrive at that moment and say, oh, here's two tickets to the Elton John concert tonight, because they know you like that kind of music. Mm. And all of a sudden you think, oh, this is a great experience, even though you've lost $700.
So how much money has data gathering made, you know, Caesars and all these other casinos?
Well, Caesars, and this is chronicled over the book, since the 90s has been very aggressive about gathering as much data about tens of millions of people as they can.
And Caesars is one of the first ones.
One of the pioneers in it. And even if you don't gamble, by the way, Disneyland is doing this. You know, all sorts of businesses are doing these same kinds of techniques. But it's been very profitable to Caesars, which doesn't have the finest, most modern properties. It doesn't have erupting volcanoes and singing gondoliers and dancing fountains. It has a lot of older properties. But because people are getting these rewards of free food and free hotel rooms and other benefits, many of them stay loyal to Caesars, do their gambling there because of this whole system they've created.
Interestingly, as you point out, they seem to make a lot of money on the low rollers and not the high rollers necessarily.
So traditionally, there was a lot of sussing up people by how they looked. Oh, you look like you're a guy with class. Let me give you tickets to the dinner. And people who came and flashily spent a lot of money were noticed in that system. But in gambling, there's a lot of people who go every week, and especially in local markets, of which we have many in this era in the United States, where people will go every week to Atlantic City or their local casino in Kansas City. And they might spend $50 or $100, but come two or three times a week. And so those people turned out over the course of the year to be quite valuable because they might be spending $5,000 or $10,000 in small segments. So the data shows that those are important people. Now they have access to the lounges and other things that make their experience more enjoyable.
So what do you tell people who say, yeah, I go to Vegas a couple of times a year, and the way I fork over my data, it's, you know, it's inobtrusive, and I don't really know, and I'm getting some great room deals out of it. It's all good. What do you tell them?
So if people have thought about the data equation, whether they want to share the data and they're happy with it, then that's fine. I don't have a prescription to say you should or you should not share your data. You should think about what is happening with your data. And if you're happy with the equation that you're getting these free things from the casinos, then that's fine. And by the way, the casinos do not sell or share the data beyond their walls. That's very valuable information to them. Many other companies do share the data beyond. When you buy a magazine and you subscribe, they may be selling that information to other people and selling your home address and so on. So I encourage people to think about it and decide for themselves what they think is best.
So I was in Vegas a few years ago and was there for work, and I wanted to play poker at the end of the day. I got $200 from the cash machine. Surprisingly, that's the lowest denomination they'll punch out. And then I walked to the poker table, had a good time, played for 2 hours, and then left. What did I involuntarily or voluntarily fork over?
So if you did not sign up for the loyalty program,
I did not.
They may not know that much, except in this case, it's possible that some data about you was gathered from the transaction of getting money out of the machines.
How much is this now the standard operating procedure for casinos all over the world? Like if you go to Monte Carlo, Macau, Sun City, South Africa, are they all doing this?
Well, increasingly, yes. Now, Caesars is the world's largest casino company. It has more than 50 properties. But the smaller casinos also want you to be loyal to their property, to keep coming back and not going somewhere else. So many, and we've seen this across different sectors of the economy, smaller stores and enterprises are also doing this kind of thing, gathering our data to figure out who are the most valuable customers.
Adam Tanner, the author of What Stays in Vegas. Great to meet you.
Thanks very much. Nice to be here.